Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
Faith has to be our way of life. Okay? Hello? Okay. Faith has to be our way of life. I'm going to say it one more time. Faith has to be our way of life. You and I, because we walk by faith, we're not walking blindly. We're not walking ignorant of what's happening around us. Rather, we have made the conscious choice consistently to look through God's eyes and not our own. We've discussed this, right? Y'all with me? Okay. I want to introduce a principle today that is presented in Hebrews chapter 11. It's verse 6. But I want to throw it out there to you right now, and then we got to really try to unpack this as best we can. Living by faith only matters if the faith pleases God. Living by faith. I've got no PowerPoint today because I wanted to go in a completely different direction, and then Holy Spirit just started bothering me. Okay? Living by faith only matters if the faith pleases God. It's almost like gasoline in our automobiles. One of the things that my family trips out about is what octane is put in each car. Right? Taria be like, child, I ain't finna play that 93. I put that 87 in mine. My car, run. I'm so glad my car take 87 gas. So she's like, you know, because not only does it cost less, but in her mind, you know, because it's less out of her pocket, she can do more. Right? And that's great for a car that's built for economy. Okay? The car I drive isn't built for economy. It's built for a little something different. It requires 93 octane. If I put 87 octane in my car, because this car they would call a high performance vehicle. If I put 87 octane in my car, it ain't gonna perform highly. As a matter of fact, my car won't be pleased with 87 octane, and as a result, Crystal, it won't act right. And some of us, Angela, have been saved long enough, we should be operating at 93 octane faith. At least 89. But we're trying to get high performance out of low grade faith. Okay. Now, Tamina, I'm not challenging you as far as really just how long you've been saved, or rather what all you believe. But there is this need for us to really get that God's intentional about the faith He wants. Okay, and quite honestly, it's not as hard as you think, Lisa, to be a person of strong faith. See, we think because someone believed God in the face of a major challenge that meant they had strong faith. Well, your faith can be just as strong, and you've never seen the challenge that person had to see. Are you with me? So I want to take some time, and I want to look at something. And before it's all said and done, we'll end up in the Gospel according to John. But in Hebrews chapter 11, it's a wonderful orientation to understanding faith. Hebrews 11 is, and it is replete with examples of faith that serve as templates for our own lives. In verse 1 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "Now faith," in the King James Version, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report." Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was found because God had, was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, if you go back up to verse 1, you'll see again that we learn that faith is now. It's always. Faith is always present tense. Faith serves no purpose for our past. Faith is always in the moment, watch me now, producing our future. Yeah. Yeah. Faith exhibited now is what's responsible for what's next. Faith today shapes what comes tomorrow. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? This is what verse 1 gives us. Now in verse 2, Lady Kim, it says that faith earned a good reputation for those of old days. That blows my mind, because the stories I read do not present to me, Channing, perfect people. Every person I read about, especially even those listed in chapter 11, were people who made good mistakes. I mean good. Abraham, the father of faith, lied about who his wife was a couple of times. Y'all don't remember that. I'm talking about, no, that's my sister. And said it with a straight face. You know what I'm saying? In order to save his own skin. Okay? And he's the father of faith, mind you. All right? Stop. Why? I don't want to say it in no different. Why is Siri talking to me? I'm not talking to you. I mean, she tried to get me to change the language. So watch this. But it says in verse 2 that they obtained a good report or a good reputation. In other words, faith made their mistakes irrelevant. That the legacy of their lives, Deacon Rogers, was built on how they trusted God and not how much they messed up. So here's the question. Honestly, you should jot this down and you think about it a little bit later. But the question I want you to ponder this week is, what does your faith resume look like? Does your faith outweigh the mistakes you've made? Is your faith reputation actually being built from one day to the next? Is anybody catching this? All right. Now, verse 3, we learn that what we see is presented to us by what we can't see. All right. From the days of God's creation, we really understand that there is more than meets the eye. Okay. Verse 4, we get the first example of this kind of faith. Abel, in verse 4, shows us that faith produces right worship. You worship God the way he wants to be worshiped, and you don't offer to God just anything, because real faith produces right worship. I don't try to get God to accept what I want to give. I give him what he wants me to give. All right, are you with me? In verse 5, we learn that of Enoch, that faith is a walk that's intended to transition and transpose your life in a manner such that every day you become more and more pleasing to God. Every single day you're supposed to become more and more pleasing to God. And a real faith walk, a walk by faith, will cause your life to transition and transpose. You will literally daily see yourself growing from one level to the next level to the next level. Unfortunately, sometimes we don't want progressive, consistent growth. We want just big jumps. Okay, but a real faith walk is literally that. It's a walk. It's not a walk, skip, and a jump. It's a walk. It's measured progress daily. All right, I'm boring you. Let me move fast. Watch this. Then he comes up And he says us, shows us by Enoch's walk, it's possible to please God. Enoch has the testimony. What's the testimony that Enoch has, Jim? He's got a testimony that he pleased God. And we can please God. And that's good news to me, because I already know all of the stuff that I can do to upset him. And I've done most of it. I know all of the stuff that breaks God's heart. I've done most of it. I know all of the stuff that would cause God, honestly, to disqualify me. And I've done most of it. And a few of those things that I've done, I've done it more than one time. And the reality is, you're looking at me and I'm telling your testimony and not just mine. But you're going to sit there and be quiet on your TV because you don't want nobody in your living room to know that you are just as bad as Bishop. So can we just agree we know what God doesn't like? Yeah. Okay. We do know what God doesn't like. Some of us did stuff God doesn't like last night. Okay, watch this. Or this morning. Okay, so watch this. It is still possible now to please God. Okay, watch this. Verse 6 shows us you can please him, but you can't do it without faith. Because if you're trying to please God with what you have, absent of faith, you will not please him. And then he tells us what kind of faith pleases him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what he says to us is that faith that pleases God has only two aspects to it. Okay? And this is the point of our investigation today. Faith that pleases God first believes he is. And then secondly, it believes he rewards. Okay. Faith that pleases God does what? Believes what? He is. And that what? He rewards. Faith that pleases God believes what? And that he what? Okay. So the word is plainly means God exists. Amen. That's it. It's literally akin to the word be. So whoever comes to God must believe that he be. You must believe that he exists. But not just that he exists, like Santa Claus and M&M's. He does exist. They do exist. Not like that. But that he very literally bees God. Okay. So right away you get this clear indictment that you don't even come to God unless you believe he is somewhere, someone you can come to. Because if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe he exists, and not just exists, but exists as God, then don't come to him. Here's where it gets sticky, because most of us would seem to say that we are coming to him and that we do believe until our situations are problematic. And then we don't come to God, because in our situations, we don't believe he be. To believe that God is in your situation means your situation can't be in control. Because if God be in your situation, God be in your situation. Okay, let me see if I can say it like this. If God be in your situation, he can only be God in your situation. Okay, you're still not getting it, and I got to get all the way to John chapter 11. God doesn't know how to be anywhere and not be himself. And if you really believe that, then the way you approach God in your situation would be different. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? To believe that God is to believe also that ain't nobody else. Karen, you don't get to believe that God is and still think there's another God. You don't get to believe that God is and still believe that you can pray in some other way or to some other God. We all serve one big God. No, we don't. No, we don't. This ain't even in my notes, but let me go and kill that right there. We do not all serve one big God. I do not serve the same God that the Muslims serve. I don't. Because I serve God. And because I believe he exists, ain't no one else. Ain't no other God to be served. I don't mind y'all, and I don't challenge you. I'm cool with you wanting to do what you want to do. I fully respect you being who you want to be. But the way my faith is set up, don't let me believe in no other God. So just cause I let you do what you do, don't mean I believe what you believe. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Send your emails to CitadelChurchJax@yahoo.com because I don't care. I am ready for you today. I said what I said. Ain't but one true and living. Ain't but one. Ain't but one. Ain't but one. No, hear me when I say it. It ain't but one. So you're Buddhist, you can do whatever you do. You can numb me, Roho, Renge, Kyo, all you want to. But it's a wasted practice as far as I'm concerned because there ain't but one God. I'm sorry. This is why I sat down. Hold on. I fully respect you. Do what you want to do. I'll wait on you to get out of whatever you're in. But when you get out, just know if we're going to eat together, when we pray, because we will, I'm going to be talking to one God, and it ain't the same one you was talking to.
Okay.
Okay. If this was a regular Sunday and I had on a robe, I would shout, one God!
That's it.
That's it. All right. Never mind. And if I believe in this God, it means that I believe that in my situation, he exists. I can't believe his word and not believe his word exists in my circumstance. All right? Now, because I got a point to make, not only is he is, he's a rewarder. Okay, so just to make sure I complete that first thought. To believe that God is, real faith believes God is. Ain't no other option. Okay? So if that's not the starting point for your faith, there is no faith. Not one that will please God. 87 octane. Okay? All right. Now, the second aspect of that is that not only is he God, but he rewards. What does he reward? He rewards those who diligently seek him. He offers a benefit to those with steady, earnest, and energetic effort. Pursue God in every situation. Okay, so look. If we know God is, then we understand that what activates God is the diligent search for him in every single day and in every single situation. Because we understand that because he exists, when we approach him properly, Lady Aisha, we then activate by our search for him a response to our faith. And the response of God to our faith is the reward. Okay. He rewards those who diligently seek him. What's the reward of those who diligently seek him? Him. I mean, if you're diligently looking for your keys, finding your car ain't a reward. Because the car without the keys that you can't find. So the reward becomes to receive what I was diligently seeking for. And God says, for every person who believes I is, then I reward your search with me in every situation. So wherever you are searching for God, there, when you find him, he will be. And that's your reward. Okay. Okay. Okay, maybe I got to go to John chapter 11 so you can really grasp this, because I really hope that my emotion is not caught pushing you past the principle. Okay, go to John chapter 11. Because when I believe he exists and that he rewards, the exhibition of faith is what pleases him, and then you and I get to make him happy. Okay, now in John chapter 11, I want to point out an instance of faith that doesn't please God. And it's a very familiar miracle, if not the most famous miracle of Jesus. It is quite literally the last miracle Jesus performs publicly for the masses. In John chapter 11, verse 17, it's the story, you know, of Lazarus. And Lazarus is a friend of Jesus. Okay, now hold on to the principle from Hebrews 11 and verse 6, because we're going to need that in a moment. All right, so Lazarus is a friend of Jesus, and Lazarus, Jesus's friend, had gotten sick. All right, and a message was sent to Jesus because he was out of town. Lazarus, your friend is sick. You need to come. Jesus doesn't come. Gets another message. Lazarus is dead. Jesus doesn't come. He waits 4 days. Jesus doesn't even show up until 4 days after the funeral. Verse 17 says, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was close to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was still at the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. But I know, watch I start quoting scripture and talking faith, that even now, whatever you ask of God, God will give it to you. Oh, that's just like us Christians. Okay. Lazarus is dead, and Jesus doesn't show up. He shows up late. As a matter of fact, he tells the disciples on the way that this was a moment that would help them to really believe. Now watch this, Jada, because if Jesus doesn't plan on doing something, he would never have shown up. Martha is struggling in this very moment because Jesus is with her. But she thinks her situation is too far gone. So she sets her sights on what's next, which is, oh, I know resurrection, he's going to get up. You know, I know my brother's going to live again. And I'm messed up because what this expresses to us is that there is a point where we turn our faith off. There's a point we come to in our situations where we tell our faith, that's enough. And we flip the switch and we settle into what is. I really got to give this to you. If you got to leave service, then go ahead and leave. I think I need about 10, 15 more minutes, but I'm giving you this today, because you need this in all one installment. So now watch this. Watch this. Martha had obviously shut her faith off when Lazarus died. At that point, It didn't matter if Jesus came or not, because her words to Jesus express the limits of her faith. If you had been here, he would not have died. If you had come while he was just sick, but still alive, he would never have died. Jesus, I trust your power to the degree I can understand it. Lee, if you had been here, my faith would have been strong to believe that you could heal him. But you didn't come until after I turned my faith off. Because what my experience has taught me, what I see is death. And death says finality. So Jesus is looking at her, and he says to her in verse 23, your brother shall rise again. Okay, I don't know how you took it, Mary, but what Jesus said was, your brother shall rise again. And then Martha, again, she quoting scriptures. I know. In the resurrection at the last day. And then Jesus says, I am the resurrection. Okay, so what he just said was, you spoke words of faith, but you don't believe what you just said. You just said that I believe he'll rise again at the resurrection. I believe, Jesus, that there is a moment where even the finality of my situation can be undone. And Jesus says, but I'm the undoer. Okay, this is only making me happy. This is only for me, and that's okay. I'm gonna take what I need, and I'm gonna live this thing. So watch this. Jesus literally says to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." Now, if you believe that resurrection is the point where what went wrong can be made right, you would no longer be sad right now, Martha, because you would appreciate the fact that I exist in your situation right now. Here's why Jesus couldn't show up until after Lazarus had died, because Martha was very right about this thing, Mike. If Jesus had shown up, Lazarus could not have died. Go back and read your book, because there's never an instance where death occurs and Jesus is present. Okay. If Lazarus is sick and Jesus shows up, Jesus isness, because he's God, Lazarus can't die. Death gets put on pause. Just because he showed up. Y'all, you didn't get it. I'm going to hold myself in this seat because a part of me wants to start hollering. So what? Wait now. So Jesus stays away for intentional purposes, because he understands there will be an inappropriate search if he shows up too soon. Faith can't be activated if he shows up too soon. The situation can't get to the place he needs it to get to for his own glory if he shows up too soon. Y'all ain't getting it. So maybe the reason why he's letting it go on in your life is because if he shows up too soon, you won't believe like you need to believe. Okay.
You've just received Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety or a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-439-HOPE. You may also write us at P.O. Box 350-414, Jacksonville, Florida 32235. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share and worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 1057 Arlington Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr.